Bibles, go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I got a long one here today, so please sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. James 3, 13 through 18. And it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Today I have a very practical message, okay? Well, I hope all my messages are practical, amen? There's usually something in my message you can take home and say, hey, I can do this, right? But to this one especially is very practical. If you are looking for or trying to determine a course of action or a solution to a problem in an issue in your life, and you want to make the right decision, anybody in that place? This message is for you today, all right? I want to talk about the topic of wisdom. Specifically, I want to teach about the two kinds of wisdom that the Word of God talks about. The title of this message is simply this: Two Kinds of Wisdom. So the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in the Word of God that there are indeed two kinds of wisdom. There is earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. That's one. Those are all grouped together: earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. And there's heavenly wisdom that is from above. All right? Those are the two kinds. You need to understand that wisdom can come from three different sources. Say three sources. Number one, wisdom can come from our own thoughts. All right? From the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, which includes God can send an angel to give you wisdom, right? As well as the Holy Spirit, obviously. All right? And they come between heaven and earth to give wisdom at times, you'll see in the Word. And the third one is that can come from demons. It can come from the kingdom of darkness. So you can break it down like this. Wisdom can come from our own thoughts, or it can come from the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. Those are the three sources of wisdom. Wisdom only comes from those three sources. Now, here's what you got to understand. Ready? Not every thought, not every idea, not every course of action originated from you. You didn't think up everything at times, okay, of where a course of action, or you had an idea to do something. That wasn't necessarily your own thoughts. Are you getting it? You must know and be aware of and understand that truth. It's interesting to point out that one of the gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 is indeed the word of wisdom. Say word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a course of action to take. It's the Holy Spirit revealing some kind of a course of action to take. Always remember this: Satan and demonic spirits, the whole kingdom of darkness, they will always have a counterfeit of what God has. There's always a counterfeit because they're trying to pull people away from God. So they're trying to put a carrot out there and say, hey, come this way, do it this way instead of God's way. All right? Now, by the way, a word of wisdom is a course of action to take. What's a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit is a past or present fact about a person's life that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. All right? And both are given and revealed spiritually by the Holy Spirit. The counterfeit from the kingdom of darkness for the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, all right, is this: divination, psychics, tarot cards, horoscopes, Ouija boards. Are you seeing? It's the whole occult and witchcraft thing. Those things are 100% forbidden by the Lord. Amen? So stick with the Word of God. Stick with the Holy Spirit. Stick with faith and prayer for guidance and direction in your life. Amen. You got to know this. There's always a high price to pay when you dabble in the enemy's junk, the occult and witchcraft. There's always a price to pay. All right. It might seem easy at the time to tap in it, but no, there's a payday coming if you tap into that. The devil doesn't give anything for free. He's always buying up real estate on the inside of you when you give into that. Amen. So here we go. Wisdom is defined as this. Wisdom is defined as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And wisdom is also the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And wisdom is the body of knowledge and principles that develops within a specified society or period. Okay, those are the three definitions of wisdom. When wisdom or an idea or a thought of a course of action comes from your own heart or thoughts, that wisdom that you're getting that wisdom or that course of action from this, an accumulation of experience from your past and knowledge you gained from the past. Amen? That is all the experience you had in the past, all of the knowledge you had from the past is all considered and thought out, and you come up with in your own heart a course of action to attack something. Are you following me? To simplify the definition of wisdom, it's this. It's an idea or a planned course of action based on acquired experience or knowledge that you possess. All right? That is coming from your own mind that is filled with that experience and knowledge, and you weigh out the consequences of doing something. You plan something out. The question is this. Here's where it starts to get a little murky. When it's your own wisdom, when it's your own past experience, when it's your own accumulation of knowledge in your heart. Ready? The question is this. Is your experience and knowledge based on the Word of God or your fleshly desires? That's where it starts to get murky. That will determine what kind of wisdom you will produce in your situation. Now, that is why your knowledge in your heart should be based on the Word of God. That is why we are commanded to fill our heart with what? The Word of God. Amen. So a course of action then, the experience you had, the knowledge of the Word, you put that together and you come on, with a godly course of action in your life. Oh, this is good. Come on, this is some good preaching here. Here we go. An idea or revelation comes from one of two sources in the spirit realm. Like I said, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There's only two kingdoms in the spirit realm. So wisdom, you could say it like this, just to really simplify it. Wisdom is always connected to some kind of an action. Say action. In fact, it's always connected to some kind of, you could say it this way, on purpose. On purpose action. Why? Because it's planned out. It's thought about, right? You decide to go this course of action. It just doesn't happen by accident. You plan it out. Whether that is what words that you should or should not speak, or an action that you should or should not do. These are all the things that you and I were weighing out in our heart. Amen? I want to start off by giving an example of righteous wisdom being received from the Holy Spirit. And then evil wisdom being received from the kingdom of darkness. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Acts 16, 6 through 10. It says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After that, they had come to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." What do you mean? Aren't we supposed to preach the word anytime and anywhere? Interesting, isn't it? I bet some of them were rebuking the devil there. When it was the Holy Spirit, come on, trying to give them wisdom of where to go. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So the Holy Spirit imparted to Paul and his ministry team not to go into certain regions to preach. But then, what I love about that, not only did the Holy Spirit say, don't go, I love this, the Holy Spirit didn't keep them hanging. Hello? He didn't keep them hanging, wondering, well, where should we go? What should we do? The Holy Spirit gave Paul, it says, a vision at night and revealed to them where to go. The Holy Spirit said, was showing a vision of a man in Macedonia. Say, come to Macedonia, right? And so that's where they were going to go. The wisdom came to Paul by revelation from the Holy Ghost. He felt on the inside, he felt a lack of peace. He felt a check, or I like to say it this way, a restraining from the Holy Spirit on the inside not to go to the other places. I want you to notice that Paul and his ministry team, they even tried to go into that region. Hey, come on. They even tried to make an effort to go into that region. And then the Holy Spirit said, Here's what you got to understand. You ready for this? Sometimes you need to take steps towards something to feel it out. Are you following me? Sometimes you need to take steps towards something just to feel it out. And as you take that step, it's going to become clearer whether there's a restraint or you got the green light to keep on moving. Amen? You just better obey. Here's what you need to do. When you feel that restraint on the inside, when you feel that lack of peace, when you take that step toward it and the Holy Ghost says no, you better obey him. You better obey him or you're going to be looking for some trouble. This is the key with Paul. I like this about Paul. Are you ready? He wasn't set on his own wisdom and ways. He was, come on, flexible. Say flexible. He was flexible and he was open to any changes, to any tweaks that the Holy Spirit wanted to make in his life. Come on, and his ministry schedule. Amen. Now, go with me to Matthew 2. Go with me to Matthew 2. Matthew 2, 13 through 15. And it says, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word.'" I like how the Holy Ghost don't just keep you hanging. Amen? He wants you to move, but he wants you to move in the right place. "For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" So an angel told Joseph to leave Israel with Mary and Jesus. Flee to Egypt. Why? Because he's trying to protect Jesus. Because Herod gave out a decree. He was trying to kill Jesus. Who do you think was behind that? Satan. Absolutely. So Herod said, "I want every child 2 years old and younger, just kill them. Because we're trying to kill the Messiah. But the Holy Ghost has your back." Do you know that? The Holy Ghost has your back. Yielding to divine wisdom. Yielding to divine wisdom and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Come on, I like to say it like this. Will save your life one day. Amen. Yielding to the wisdom and knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit heard conversations that you didn't hear. The Holy Spirit knows details that you didn't know about. You ever had that where there's someone who's real nice to your face, they're sticky sweet to you, but you always feel like, they're probably talking behind your back. They probably don't really like you, but they're trying to creep in. maybe to a, oh, I don't know, a ministry position? Oh, they really don't like you. But the Holy Ghost has your back. The Holy Ghost has the back of Living Waters Chapel. Are you following me? Supernatural wisdom can be given or imparted to you while, come on, here's, listen to this. Supernatural wisdom can be imparted to you either while you're awake or while you're sleeping. Now, here, why is that? Because your spirit man never sleeps. Did you hear me? Your spirit man never sleeps. Your spirit man is always awake. Only your physical body needs sleep, right? Many times, listen to me, many times the spirit realm, I'm not talking grandma or grandpa, if they died, they're in heaven. Or, never mind. Are you following me? When I'm talking about the spirit realm, I'm talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Many times, the spirit realm will try to communicate with you through dreams. Why? Because you can't block them out as easily during a busy day. Did you just hear what I said? Oh, I love this deeper stuff. Amen. This reveals that if you want to hear from the Holy Spirit while you're awake, you must focus on Him and hearing His voice. Focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on the word of God. Focus makes His voice and promptings, come on, clearer. How many of you want to hear the voice of God clearer? I want to hear the voice of God clearer than ever before. The enemy, listen to me, the enemy can slide their thoughts in when we are focusing on the wrong things and giving place to them. Say slide. Just like a snake. They slither those thoughts in. Come on. Don't give them attention or place in your thought life. Did you hear me? Don't give them attention. The same word as attention is what? Focus. And I listen to this. An idea. That's why at a certain point you don't have meetings anymore, because they don't deserve your attention or focus. When they already proved who they were. Right. Are you following me? Yeah. Listen, an idea or thought from a supernatural source is given and meant to lead to some kind of course of action. It's given from the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of God with the intent of you acting on that idea, thought, or inspiration to do something. It's meant to do this. Anytime a thought from the enemy, a thought from the Holy Ghost, maybe an angel of God whispers something in you. It's meant to do one thing and one thing only. Ready? To influence you to do something. That's it. They can't force you to do anything. They're trying to influence you. Your free will still has to give in. Amen? That's why us humans, when we do something bad or evil, we can't just say the devil made me do it. No, the devil put the thought in. He influenced you and you gave in to that influence. It's still you. Amen? Now, an idea they're meant to influence you. Now, that's great if it's coming from the kingdom of God. But that idea, thought, or inspiration better be rejected if it's coming from the kingdom of darkness. You must filter it out with the word of God. Look at John chapter 13. You getting anything out of this? Yep. Oh, we're only 4 pages in too. Hallelujah. Here we go. How many pages does he have? I'm not going to tell you right now. John 13. My mama didn't raise no dummy. Amen. Here we go. John 13, 1 through 2. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Here's what I want you to get right here. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil literally, it says, he put a thought. He inserted a thought. He inserted a thought. He inserted an idea into the heart. Or what's another word for the heart? Your thought life. He inserted a thought into the thought life to betray Jesus. And the problem is not necessarily that. Because how many of you know thoughts come in from the enemy to us all the time, right? The problem is this. Judas meditated on that thought for at least 17 seconds or more. Are you following me? He meditated on it. He made that thought his own. Judas meditated on it. He even planned it out how he was going to betray Jesus. He planned it out. Oh, come on, say he planned it out. Every little detail. It was devilish. It was demonic wisdom in action. Judas did give in to devilish influence. Go to Proverbs 4. The devil put in his heart. So evidently the devil is able, come on, and demons are able to put thoughts into your heart or into the flow of your thought life. Amen? It's kind of, think of it this way. You're standing in front of an assembly line and things are coming down. Everything looks the same. Then all of a sudden something comes down that line and it doesn't look like the other things. What do? You take it and you get rid of it. Are you following me? Do you get that mental picture? Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Hallelujah. We got to constantly be aware of what's on that conveyor belt in our thought life. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So God commands, I've talked about this before, God commands us in his word to get wisdom and get understanding. It's our responsibility. So God is obviously talking about godly or righteous wisdom. Wouldn't you say our Heavenly Father's probably talking about that kind of wisdom, right? How do we get wisdom and understanding? Well, there's several ways. We can get godly, righteous wisdom by reading, hearing, and studying the Word of God. Reading, hearing, and studying the Word of God. And what that does, the Holy Spirit said it to me like this. He said, when you get into the Word of God, read, hear, and study, the Word of God gives general guidelines of wisdom. Say general. It gives you general guidelines to live by, right? And then we can get godly, righteous wisdom by surrounding ourselves with other godly believers and godly friends, a godly inner circle that you can trust, people that you can trust, and people, come on, you got to have this, people that honor and respect the Word of God. You know they're going to give you some advice that's based on the Word and not their own flesh. Amen? Wouldn't you say that's pretty important? So that's pretty important who you're surrounding yourself with in life, right? And then we can get wisdom and understanding for specific circumstances by prayer. Say prayer. By asking our Heavenly Father for wisdom and understanding. I know we go here a lot. We're going to do it again. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 7, I want to look at. But there's some more stuff I want to pull out of here. Thank God that we just don't read a passage or a verse one time, and that's all we get out of it. But that'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? But the Word of God is so supernatural and the Holy Spirit on the inside that there's so many ways to apply even one scripture. Amen? James 1, 5 through 7, look at this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now, the Greek word in this passage that's translated wisdom, I like to look up the Greek word, right? Because the Greek definition seemed to be a little more in-depth, right? Here's the deal. That's the importance of studying the word. Just don't, at face value, study it. Study each word. It's very deep. Amen? The Greek word that's translated wisdom in this passage means this: practical skills, understanding, the ability to make sound judgments, and I found this one interesting. You ready for this? The ability to argue skillfully. The ability to argue skillfully. Oh, we're not supposed to argue. Yeah, just do it skillfully. Don't be an idiot about it. Amen? Do it skillfully. Listen to this. It also means this. I like this. Oh, this is where the rubber hits the road. Wisdom also means this: to apply knowledge to real life situations. To apply knowledge to real life situations. So the next time someone says, the Bible's not practical, wrong. It's practical for every area of your life. Our Heavenly Father, and this is what this definition reveals to us, our Heavenly Father wants to get involved with every area, come on, of our real life situations. Amen. How many of you are dealing with some real life situations right now? Come on, we all are and have. But he does require one thing. He does require this. We must ask for wisdom in faith. And then he will freely and liberally give it without holding back. But this is what you need to do. Ready? You need to invite him in the situation. He needs that invitation. Say invitation. God will give wisdom without reproach. Oh, I found this interesting. You know what this literally means? It means that when you ask for wisdom, that God will give us liberally. He will give us that wisdom without reminding us. Ready? Without reminding us of our unworthiness or shame from the past. Isn't that good? Because a lot of people, with whatever they've gone through in the past, they cut themselves off from the blessing. Remember I talked about this last week or a week before. They don't feel worthy. Yeah, we know. But it's grace, so move on. Use the grace of God. Be strong in the grace of God, the word says. Amen? If you ask for wisdom and faith, knowing that he will respond, or expecting him to respond, trusting him to respond, guess what God says? It's a done deal. It's on its way. How many of you need wisdom today? Ask in faith and wait. It's coming. Amen? Pay attention after you ask him in faith. Pay attention to what you hear on the inside in your spirit, man. Pay attention to the flowing thoughts on that conveyor belt in your heart. Pay attention to the pictures in your imagination, because he's going to respond. Why? Because he said he would. Amen? It's as simple as that. Pay attention. He also said this. He said, don't forget to tell the people this. Ready? He said, pay attention to who he might use and send into your life to deliver that wisdom. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Oh, come on. Oh, we love, you know, God, you know, you know, God, I would prefer you just download to me personally. God says, nope, I'm probably going to use someone that you're having an issue with right now to pass on a little wisdom just to test you. Oh, that went over like a lead balloon. Carrying on. Expect the answer to be revealed to you. No doubting, no unbelief. We must put an effort, as the word said, we must put an effort in to getting wisdom and to get understanding. Righteous wisdom will bless every area of your life. Amen? And it will prevent evil from getting any place. Though Ephesians 4:29, don't give place to the devil. And so when you walk in righteous wisdom, you're not giving place to the devil. You're not giving up any, come on, real estate to him in your thought life, in your physical body, in your soul. Now, let's go back to James. Oh, we're going deeper. Get ready. Let's go back to James 3:13 through 18. I want to break down the difference now between the two kinds of wisdom, all right? The earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom and heavenly or godly wisdom from above, all right? Picking apart these two different wisdoms, picking them apart and knowing the difference between the two will help you to filter out what is from God and what is from us and what is from the enemy. Amen? The Word of God in Hebrews 4:12 says this, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides soul and spirit. In other words, it's going to separate what's your thought and what's the enemy's thought and what's from God. Amen. It's sharp. Amen? Now, you need to understand, please understand this. The enemy doesn't care if the idea is from them or from your own flesh. Hello, they just don't want you to flow, come on, in the wisdom of God. They don't care. Come on, come on. Even the Satanic Bible has a quote, has a verse in it that says this. Ready? Ready? Do what thou wilt. In other words, do whatever your flesh desires. Just don't do the will of God. Are you following what I'm saying? The enemy just doesn't want you to be led by the Lord, by the Word of God. All right? So James 3:13-18. Let's read it one more time, just for good measure. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, the first thing that I want you to notice is that true wisdom, godly righteous wisdom, number one, it will always be noticeable. It will always be able to be observed through our spoken words or our actions. You'll never watch someone in life or listen to them and say, do they have wisdom or not? I don't know. It'll be revealed, come on somebody, through their spoken words or their actions. Amen? So nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. That's how it's revealed. Good conduct or manner of living is accomplished in the meekness of wisdom. Say meekness. Let's dig in a little bit to meekness here. This is important for the Christian. Listen to this. Meek is defined as this, as quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon or submissive. Meekness is quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon or submissive. A meek Christian, you want to know what this means? A meek Christian is teachable. Say teachable. They are willing to learn. And here's another issue. Here's another good one. Are you ready for this? They are willing to be corrected if they are wrong in any area of their life. They're willing to be corrected. That's what it means to be easily imposed upon. A meek Christian says, please, pastor, if there's any area that you notice in my life that's not right, please show me. I want to go in the right way. That's a meek Christian. Amen? And not only do they want that correction, but they obey it. They take heed to the needed corrections. Amen? In Matthew 5:5, Jesus said this. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We might not know the major depth of that, but it sure sounds like a good thing. Amen. It's a positive thing. Come on, somebody. Jesus was saying that there are blessings attached to you living a life of meekness, to you as a Christian being teachable, being correctable, and submissive to the will of God, being submissive to the Word of God. Amen? And acting on the will of God. We all must come to that place of realizing, guess what? We're not right about everything all the time. Maybe close, but not everything. Oh, well, okay, one laughed on that. Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. Meekness, listen to this. Meekness is wisdom and humility in action. Meekness is wisdom and humility in action. We must be willing to learn from God and to learn from each other. Amen? So James 3 separates a Christian from doing works in the meekness of wisdom with a Christian from, listen to me, from a Christian acting out from a place of bitterness, envy, and being self-seeking in their heart or in their thoughts. Every word and action are a fruit of our thought life. Did you hear what I just said? Every word that we speak, every action that we take is a fruit of our thought life. Your thought life or your heart is the soil. And every thought that you have, come on, or you could say it this way, every thought that you meditate on, where you have prolonged thought on, is a seed planted in your heart. That makes sense? And it says this, the Word of God goes on to say this. It says, do not boast or lie against the truth. Do not boast or lie against the truth. God is telling us to humble ourselves and to be meek. Don't mask. This is what he's saying, ready? It's uncomfortable, but it's the truth. He's saying this, don't mask the major faults and issues taking place in our heart. Or else nothing is ever going to change. And it will lead to a life of curses and destruction. How many of you want a life of cursing and destruction? I don't. I want a life of blessing. Amen? Amen. And then it goes on to say, it says, this wisdom, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. And then it says, for where envy and self-seeking exist. Remember, the satanic Bible says what? Do thou what thou wilt. You do your own thing apart from God. That's satanic. Hello, that's demonic. Amen? For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion in every evil thing is there. The Word of God separates wisdom that originates from above in God's heart in the throne room with the wisdom that originates on this cursed earth. Are you following me? Listen to this. The wisdom that originates from the earth is an enemy of and the opposite of the wisdom that originates from above in heaven with God. You need to understand this. Oh, say, I'm listening, Pastor. This is important. You need to understand this. Wisdom from above is talking about our Heavenly Father giving us wisdom directly from Him in heaven through the Holy Spirit in a specific situation. But don't stop there. The Holy Spirit revealed this. He said, and wisdom from above is not just a gift of the Spirit in action or a revelation from the Holy Spirit. No, it's also talking about us getting wisdom or general wisdom from the written Word of God, because the written Word of God originated in where? Heaven. So wisdom from above is, yes, getting revelation for a specific situation, but also general wisdom from the Word of God, because it all originates from our Heavenly Father. That makes sense? The wisdom that originates on earth is talking about wisdom that's not spiritual. It feeds and promotes fleshly desires. Oh, that stinking flesh. Some call it this. You ever heard this term before? Street smart. Right? There's a street smart kind of a wisdom, but it's fleshly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. Amen? Now, demons promote that kind of wisdom, the flesh. Demons promote any thought or any idea that leads to a course of action. Come on, that's unrighteous, and that's against the principles and standards in the Word of God. Just know, earthly wisdom is separate from heavenly wisdom or God's righteous ways of doing things. It's interesting, listen to this. This blew me away when I saw this. It's interesting that ungodly wisdom is referred to as sensual. Say sensual. Some reason when I was reading that in the Word, it jumped out at me, and I knew I had to go deeper and look at the Greek word, and I'm glad I did. Listen to this. It'll give you a fuller picture. The Greek word that's translated sensual is defined as belonging to the natural or physical realm or unspiritual. Isn't that interesting? Sensual. It's defined as belonging to the natural or physical realm or unspiritual. It means to live your life according to only your five senses. It's unspiritual in its course of action. It's based only on, come on, the natural realm. We as Christians, it's interesting that we as Christians are commanded, as a prophetic word I think was spoken today, we are commanded to live by faith, a disciplined life, by faith and not by what? Sight. We're not supposed to, come on, we're not supposed to make decisions or live based on sensual desires. Say sensual. So this earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom goes by fleshly feelings. It goes by the five senses rather than by the Holy Spirit and just plain obedience to the Word of God. It goes by how you, come on, feel. And we know that can get you in a truckload of trouble. Amen? When your flesh wants to, you know, lash out, but the Word says, nope, do this instead. Amen? Where are you going to go? What wisdom are you going to choose? See, living a sensual life, it means this. It means to be in common or in agreement with lust, illicit and evil desires, and unclean sinful practices that opens a person up to the demonic. Is anybody here today? How many of you ever heard this before? The devil and demons, they're flesh devils. That don't mean they have flesh. It means that they will always tempt us with fleshly desires. They know the weaknesses of man. Are you following me? So that's why we call them, they're flesh devils. They're always trying to stir up. Come on, or you could say it this way, awaken fleshly desires. That's why some of the biggest temptations and trials you're going to have is when you leave this building today. Some of the biggest temptations you had maybe even happened before you even got into this building. Because the devil was trying to take your focus off and try to get you to focus on your flesh instead of God. Amen? So you could say it this way. Don't ever forget this. Sensual wisdom is flesh-centered. Sensual wisdom is flesh-centered. Galatians 5:16, it tells us, commands us to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust or desires of the flesh. So how do you counteract? Oh, I don't know if I can live a sinless life. I don't know if I can ever be sinless. Yeah, you can. God tells you how to do it. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill. You will not fulfill. That's for some reason, that's a hard pill for people to swallow. Because we're so sin conscious. We're so, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not. Now, get rid of that. God says this in His Word. He said, He tells us to walk in the Spirit or be influenced by the Holy Ghost, be influenced by the Word of God. Stay focused on the Holy Ghost, stay focused on the Word of God, and you won't fulfill. You won't focus on the lust or desires of the flesh. That's how you do it. Is it possible to live a life free from sin? Absolutely it is. But guess what it takes? Discipline. And that's why the Word of God says to raise up what? Disciples. Disciplined. Followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do here at Living Waters Chapel. Right? We're not trying to get into drama. We're raising up disciples. We have a job to do. Amen? So you could say it this way. Earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom exalts the fruit of the curse. It's worldly, fleshly, and sin-centered. Does that make sense? Is that clear as mud? Now listen to this. Earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom contains everything that is against... I'm telling you this for this reason. So when a thought or an idea comes into your mind, you can filter it out. You can filter it out, whether it's from God, or it's from you. Come on. Or from the enemy. Earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom contains everything that is against God and against in his everything that he hates. Everything he hates. All right? We were never meant to live with that kind of wisdom or course of action in our life. Right? And that's why it brings a curse on us when we walk in the wrong kind of wisdom. Because we're activating, come on, spiritual laws that we were never intended to walk in on this earth. If you have an issue here, let me give you a little test. Let's see if this is really sinking in here. Ready? If you have an issue at work and you have a problem to resolve, you have an idea that involves dealing with a customer, and your idea is this: I'm going to lie to this customer about something. What kind of wisdom is it? Amen. Amen. Isn't this good? Practical, I said, right? It's earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. That is against God's word. And guess what? If you do it, you can go ahead and do it, but you're not going to be blessed. Anytime you have a thought or an idea about how to deal with a situation, you need to run it through the filter of the word, and specifically this list we're talking about today, I'm getting ready to release here. If your thought or idea is against any part of the word of God, it's earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom, whether it's from you or from demons. If it's against God's word, right, it doesn't matter if it's your own thought or demonic, it's evil. Get rid of it. All right. If you're making a decision in your own heart from a place, oh, this is a practical one. If you're making a decision in your heart from any place of bitterness, envy, and self-seeking, that kind of wisdom, that kind of a plan in action is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Any thought or idea that violates one fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, it is earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. You really need to be honest with yourself and with God about the condition of your heart when trying to plan a course of action. Ask yourself this question. Are you ready? Do this. In my heart right now, am I planning this course of action? As I'm planning this course of action, am I bent toward pride, earthly, sensual, and demonic kind of wisdom? Or am I bent toward heavenly, righteous wisdom from a pure heart? Always ask yourself, whenever you set out to make a course of action, say, what am I bent toward? Where am I leaning toward? Do I have bitterness in my heart toward someone? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Am I bent toward that? Is it going toward the earthly, sensual, and demonic? Or do I really have a pure heart and I really want to be a blessing to people? Are you following me? The word says, don't lie against the truth. Talk to your Heavenly Father about it. Open your Bible and start reading it. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you about this issue you're dealing with, to help you get back into a spiritual mindset in your thoughts, in your heart. Your life, hey, listen, if you take anything out of this, are you ready? Your life is shaped and formed by the decisions that you make. Specifically, your life is shaped and formed by whether you choose to walk in earthly, sensual, or demonic wisdom, or in heavenly, righteous wisdom. Every part of your life is shaped by that. What one are you going to walk in? James 3:16 says, he said, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. The enemy is fine with you doing his ideas or yours. The kingdom of darkness just doesn't want you to do heavenly wisdom or godly wisdom. Amen? Envy. What's envy? Envy is desiring someone else's stuff. And that negative emotion and motivation will cause you to do anything to get it. It will cause you to lie, cheat, slander, gossip. In some cases, it causes people to murder people. Hello? Self-seeking means you're not interested in the will of God, but rather you're interested in your own will. You're interested in your own plan apart from God. Whatever makes your flesh happy, that's what you want. In that negative mindset of envy and self-seeking, the Word of God said this, that confusion, say confusion, and every evil thing are there. Now, when the Word says every evil thing, that's pretty serious stuff, people. This is how some people can commit adultery on their spouse. Their envy, their lust, wanting someone else's spouse, and self-seeking, lustful desires, it attracts demons, come on, and it invites a confusion and every evil thing into their life. Confusion, by the way, is a lack of clarity in the mind. It's a lack of clarity in the thought life. You could say it this way. I like this one better. It's a lack of reasoning. And so my example I just used, people that are caught up in sin, they're not thinking straight. They do things very irrationally. Have you ever seen someone do something really irrational and it's like, wow, I never could see them do anything like that? You want to know why? Because they're drunk on their own fleshly desires and lust. Are you following me? There's a web of confusion spun by demons that they've given place to in their life. Because of giving them place, the voice of the demonic become clearer than their own voice, clearer than the voice of the Holy Spirit. And friend, that's a dangerous place to be in your life. And then they are then led by earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. And they're not living in a reality. They're focused on sin and pleasure, and they're living very irrationally. What does that mean, to live irrationally? You could even say it like this. Are you ready? They're not considering the consequences of their actions. Let me ask you this. When a person's drunk on alcohol, are they considering the actions or their consequences of what they're doing? No way. Their inhibitions are boom. They're a new person. So all of a sudden, this shy person becomes Superman. Ah! Wants to fly off the bar table. Very irrational. And this is what happens when people get drunk on the flesh. They do things that are very, very irrational. Amen? Now, I'm almost done. Stick with me here. I want to finish this message real quick by briefly talking about the characteristics of heavenly wisdom from above. We're going to end it on that. Wisdom from above is pure. That means your motives are pure. It's wisdom that will benefit all that are involved. Pure also means that heavenly wisdom is grounded in holiness. It's grounded in the Word. Amen? It's in agreement with the Bible. Amen? It won't lie or cheat to get its way. It is a righteous wisdom, a righteous course of action that will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly wisdom is peaceable. Say peaceable. There's no fleshly anger or rage attached to it, right? I mean, you can be angry and sin not. It's a righteous anger. But there's also a fleshly, come on, and a demonic anger. There's a fleshly anger and a demonic anger. Notice how I went up on the demonic. It's a rage. Hello? Heavenly wisdom is peaceable. There is no fleshly anger or demonic anger or rage attached to it. It's full of the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't, ready for this? It doesn't do harm to anyone involved. It's good for everyone. Even if the person doesn't think it's good at the moment, in the long run, it's good for them. Hello? The next characteristics of heavenly wisdom is that it's gentle. Say gentle. It's meek, modest, and kind. It's willing to yield to the Holy Spirit and to others. You are esteeming others higher than yourself, right? Except for when they try to destroy a church. Following me? It is full of mercy and good fruits. Heavenly wisdom is always forgiving and operates in love. It is without partiality and without hypocrisy. Partiality, what is it? Partiality is favoritism or an unfair bias in favor of a thing or a person compared to someone else or something else. Heavenly wisdom will judge righteously no matter who is involved in the situation. There is no respect of persons. Amen? The scales of justice are fairly weighted. Right? Wherever that is not happening, it just switched over to earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. Are you following me? So hypocrisy means the practice of pretending to have virtues or moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform to. right? You're preaching it, but not living it. Hello? Heavenly wisdom is honest and true. All the characteristics of heavenly wisdom comes down to this one truth. Are you ready for this? This blew me away when the Holy Spirit, this is what it boils down to right here. All of the characteristics of heavenly wisdom comes down to this one truth. These are the same characteristics that God uses toward us, his children. And because we are his children, we are to be imitators of God as dear children. And not only that, but we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him everywhere we go. We are expected to treat others around us the same way. Come on, as our Heavenly Father treats us. Verse 18 ends by saying, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who will make peace. Last page, people. The goal of heavenly wisdom in our life is to lead us to blessing and peace and to be that true ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sowing the fruit of righteousness of heavenly wisdom will cause you to reap peace in every area of your life. Anybody want peace in here? Yes. I do. Church, someone's getting it. Church, you need to know there are two kinds of wisdom. There's earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom, and there's heavenly wisdom from above. The wisdom you choose to walk and live in will form and shape your life, your quality of life on this earth. I want to encourage you all to choose heavenly wisdom from above that is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you will walk and live in heavenly wisdom from above, you will live out the rest of your days. Come on. You will live out the rest of your days in the blessing and favor of God like never before. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Two kinds of wisdom. Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, and you never know if there is or not. That's why I do this. Maybe you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Today's the day of salvation. Do not leave this place without making Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Yep, prayer team, come on down. Today's the day of salvation. Come on down and pray with one of our prayer team members. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, this message really hit you today. You're like, wow, two kinds of wisdom. You know, I've been going in the wrong direction. I've been choosing the wrong wisdom, and I've been feeling it in my life. But today, this message really pricked my heart. Come down and just tell one of the prayer team members that and let them pray with you. Or if you want to rededicate your life, just today, new start, new beginning. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. We always want to offer that because the Holy Spirit baptism, tongues, gifts of the Spirit, it's not a living waters thing. It's a Bible thing. Amen? And it's available to everyone who receives the Holy Spirit baptism. If you have need prayer for anything else, come on down. The rest of you, thank you for coming today. I hope this message was a blessing to you. Really meditate and think about it. Go back, listen to it again. When you lay down in bed, turn on YouTube. Listen to me talk to you. Amen? All right, guys, have a great week. I love you all. If you need me, you know where to find me. Have a great one, everyone.